This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, today we're supposed to have with us as a special guest Mr. Harry Martin, who is the editor of the Napa Sentinel, and he's been up there for some 35 years publishing that newspaper. And, of course, he's a very interesting individual. He was with military intelligence many years ago, and, of course, he is a conservative. He's one of the few truly conservative newspapers here in the West Coast. And, of course, there are two newspapers in town. One, the typical liberal newspaper that scoffs at anything that anybody says and demonizes anybody who talks about black helicopters or concentration camps or anything of that sort. And, of course, never gives any justification for their statement, just saying, it's so ridiculous, who could possibly believe that? And then there's Harry there. Now, of course, Harry usually wins. He is on the city council. He's been there for 9 years. And he always wins over a large slate of other people. A vast majority gets 75% of the vote, usually, something like that, in a field of 9 people running, because the people have learned through the years that they can trust him. And, of course, Harry, back in the early 1990s, was writing about the so-called detention camps that were mentioned in the crime bill of 1992. And in that, of course, they said one thing, that if there was a perceived emergency, if there was a perceived, not an absolute emergency, but the president perceived there's an emergency, he could actually declare martial law in the United States, and Congress couldn't challenge anything he did for 6 months. In other words, in the meantime, he could arrest anybody, put them in concentration camps, do whatever he wanted, under the guise of a perceived national emergency. That was the law in 1992, and, of course, Harry had it was a 1,000-page law. Most people hadn't bothered to read it, but it was there. That was the same time they were talking about bringing the Hong Kong police to the United States, to fill in for our regular police, 100,000 of them or 10,000. I've forgotten the number, but Harry had all of this information. He published it in his newspaper, was immediately attacked by the local newspaper. Well, of course, he just said, here it is. Here's the law. You look at it, and you see what it says. He put it up on his website. It's freeamerica.com. It's freeamerica.com. And it is up there on his website, if you'd like to go, along with so many of the other articles that he's written. So basically, these detention camps were actually formed. They were formed on Bureau of Land Management land, where out of the way, where people would never know. They're simply empty camps there, surrounded by barbed wire, but they're waiting for the order to be given. People say that could never happen in America. Why, we wouldn't allow it to happen. Our leaders would never allow that, or would they? Is there perhaps evil people in our government who create wars and, of course, who support evil dictators throughout the world, who have a population control agenda, are financing birth control throughout the world, are financing a genocidal program in Africa instead of fighting the AIDS epidemic, who are actually fostering the AIDS epidemic, instead of fighting drugs, where CIA is actually smuggling drugs in? And in fact, we replaced the Taliban, has done away with drugs in Afghanistan, with the Northern Alliance, that is one of the largest drug producers in the world. Could those things really be going on? Did the government have advanced knowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor? Or was the government, the CIA, and the FBI involved in the assassination of President Kennedy? Would the Federal Bureau of Investigation send innocent men to prison? Well, if you doubt that, you need to get the book Dangerous Alliance. We have it. It's written by a Boston newspaper reporter. And, of course, it goes into the background of, yes, for over 20 years, the Boston FBI worked with the mafia. J. Edgar Hoover knew about it. They sent innocent people to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, these are not imaginary things. These are real. the book Dangerous Alliance. We carry that. The book Double Cross goes into the fact that the CIA has been working with the mafia for many, many years, carrying out its assassinations. The book is written by the brother of the head of the mafia, at least he was, Sam Giancano. He was until he was double-crossed. Who double-crossed him? Why, his friends in the CIA. That's the reason the book is titled Double Cross. Both of these books are available to our ministry, or we hope you'll want to get the Intelligence Special that has both of those books and actually 3-4 tape sets as well as both of those books. So much information out there. Well, would there be evil and wicked people who would do this sort of thing? Yes, there are. A lot of good people working in government. But there's also this evil presence that's been here since the 1640s when the group of Rosicrucians were sent over from England to take over control of our government, and they were the ones who put the strange satanic emblem on the back of the Great Seal of the United States. That emblem you'll find on the back of your dollar bill today, the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye. And, of course, the glorified eye there. And you'll also find that, of course, on the DARPA website, having to do with Admiral Poindexter's new great computer that's going to monitor everything. Would they really have a plan to arrest American citizens and put them into concentration camps? Well, that's, of course, what the crime bill was all about in 1992, and that's what Harry Martin has up on his website. Simply excerpts from the law that was sent to him by Barbara Boxer. And, of course, we have another four-tape set. It's called Concentration Camps, and we even have video footage that was shot at the Iran-Contra hearings where you'll actually see Congressman Jack Brooks. And, of course, they're questioning Oliver North, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, in the full Marine regalia. And Congressman Jack Brooks asks Oliver North, is it true that you worked in the White House on this program for continuity of government in case of a national emergency? And there was a program, of course, to suspend liberties and arrest American citizens. And immediately Senator Inouye speaks up and says, oh, why, we can't discuss that here. That is classified information. And then, of course, Congressman Brooks says, well, I was reading about that, and I really thought we had to bring it out. And again, why Senator Inouye interrupts him and says, we can't talk about that here. We could talk about it in the executive session. And then, of course, you will actually see Congressman Gonzalez saying, you know, the only person who came close to the truth was Jack Brooks at the hearings. But there really is a plan in case of a national emergency, a terrorist attack, to arrest American citizens and put them in detention camps. Well, we'll be right back here in just a moment, but let's just mention that we actually have what we call a concentration camp special, and it includes a couple of four-tape sets, and it includes the what we call the amazing clips. Actually, it's three videos, 3.5 hours viewing, most amazing video footage you ever saw without much commentary on it. It's all pretty much self-explanatory, and you'll actually see the concentration camps. You'll see Congressman Jack Brooks trying to get this information out of there at the Iran-Contra hearings. You'll hear the Congressman Gonzalez saying, yeah, there really is a plan. But, of course, the truth is they don't want the American people to know. We're drawing very close. We're moving into a war, and when that happens, all we need is one feigned or real terrorist attack for martial law, and they can go around and arrest people and seize their property. People say it could never happen here. People in Germany said it could never happen there. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get just the three videos, that's called the Amazing Clips. Or you can certainly get the Concentration Camp 4-tape set or the Concentration Camp Special and help us to reach other people, because the life you save could be your own. Again, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you can get there, of course, the Intelligence Special, the books Dangerous Deception, Double Cross, or the Intelligence Special, or the Concentration Camp Special, but get the information and help us spread it across America. And then, of course, as you know, we carry Miracle 2 soap products. We do that to help subsidize what we're doing. We know it's excellent soap. We have all sorts of amazing reports from our listeners, but we can't talk about those on the radio. All we can tell you is that it's excellent soap, and we hope you'll want to get the Miracle 2 soap products, the soap, the neutralizer, the moisturizing soap, the gel, and the lotion. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and unfortunately our regularly scheduled guest isn't with us, and so if you would like to give us a call at 1-888-244-Liberty, that's 1-888-24-Liberty, or 464-8295. Give us a call, and we'd be glad to discuss any subject you'd like to, or we can continue talking about the danger to you and your family. Well, right now we've got Roger from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. You'll be sure to dump me if your guest shows up. I did have a concentration camp question for you. First, I wanted to throw this in. We're all sick ad nauseum over the bonfire of the irrelevancies of this beating up on Trent Lott. And there's an obvious point here, which is easy to hammer out on these worthless, nominally conservative talk shows. And boy, did he groan when I vented this earlier today. It should be obvious. Now, no one in the Republican establishment or the Democrat establishment or the conservative talking head media will mention this, but aside from the obvious stupidity of Trent Lott's remarks, that's not at all the reason why we should get rid of him. It's because he's been bending over backwards with these concessions and deals where the Republican, or more importantly, the limited government constitutionalists never get anything in return. That, I mean, they should have got rid of him years ago, wouldn't you think? And the deep, dark secret here is that not only the obvious one, that the Democrats are secretly praying that they keep him on so that the Republicans are emasculated, but the real secret is the Republican establishment wants to keep him on because here is a guy that's going to not bring up any hot potato issues about getting rid of millions of illegal aliens or reeling in any of those 150-some thousand per year continuing Wahhabi Islam immigrants or any of the other issues that are near and dear to our heart. Is that about right, Dr. Stan?
Well, I would say, first of all, that Trent Lott made a remark, and I think that it was, when he made it, he said what I would personally believe. We'd been a lot better off if the states' rights candidate had been elected in 1948. Why? Having nothing to do with racism, having to do with this idea of limiting the power of the federal government. We were founded on this concept of states' rights. A limitation of the federal authority in matters dealing with life, liberty, and property would be dealt with at the state level, and you'll find that in the 45th of the Federalist Papers, if you read it, where it says, in effect, that the powers of the central government are to be limited and defined, and the powers of the state government are to be unlimited and ill-defined. Now, that's what the states' rights concept was all about. Yes, there were some people who advocated states' rights because they were racist, but there was certainly nothing that he said smacked of racism. They have certainly written this into it, and I think they just want to show us that they can destroy anybody in America they want to. The power of the combined media. And you'll find the New York Times calling for his Trent Lott to resign. You'll find the Washington Post calling for it, and you'll find the so-called conservative Wall Street Journal. Well, of course, the truth is the matter. They're all controlled by exactly the same people, but they have to give the American people the idea that we're hearing both sides of the issue. In other words, there's a conservative media, and of course, we have the Wall Street Journal to give us the truth. The truth of the matter is, none of it is giving us the truth. Neither they nor the Fox Network or the so-called conservative National Review or the so-called conservative American Spectator or this new magazine, the Weekly Standard, put out by a gentleman who's a member of the Bilderbergers. You have to understand it's William Crystal. You have to understand that we do not have a free and open media. And so somebody has put this thing forward and keeps hammering away and hammering away at it to show how effective they can be. Well, actually, I'm very, very pleased in many respects with all of the propaganda barrage on smallpox. And let's just use the similarity between the Trentlot issue and smallpox. I mean, day after day after day after day after day, we just hear about Trentlot and what a terrible guy he is and what a racist he is and how he ought to step down. Why should he step down? Did he say anything at all about race when he made the remark? Of course he didn't say anything. And he didn't refer to race, and I don't even think he was thinking about it. I think he was making a complimentary remark to a fellow Mason who had been a member of the United States Senate and is now 100 years old. And of course, anything you say can be twisted, and they were absolutely twisting it. But here you see they've created this firestorm to divert us away from really important issues, and that is why in heaven's name are we going to war with Iraq. But, you know, when they give us so many issues to think about and talk about, we can't think effectively. But let me give you another example. And that is the smallpox vaccine. Now, the day after day, week after week, month after month, we're told about the threat of smallpox. For 30 years, we were told there was no smallpox anywhere in the world, and that's why you couldn't get a vaccination, even if you wanted to, because the government was here to protect us, and that's why they wouldn't let us be vaccinated. Then suddenly they say, oh, there's a terrible threat of smallpox. Everybody's got to be vaccinated. Roll up your sleeves. But you know, with all of the fear and hysteria that they've been putting out on the smallpox vaccine, why, you know, only about 48% of the people are ready to take it. And the rest of them, are either undecided or they are actually against it. And there's about 25% of the people who say this is stupid. Well, maybe it's because they've read what the government's own commission said that they convened at the CDC, and they said if there's a case of smallpox, you ought to ring vaccinate, but to vaccinate everybody would be the ultimate stupidity. And I am so encouraged at Roger, because the majority of the American people have not been taken in by the propaganda machine. People are beginning to think out there, and I think that the average American isn't taken in by this barrage. I don't like Trentlot. I can think of a lot of reasons to get rid of him, and the major one would be that he betrayed his trust as Senate leader and the trust of the American people when he refused to allow Bill Clinton to be impeached. The members of the House of Representatives, by a majority vote, had voted to impeach Bill Clinton for not simply his escapade with Monica Lewinsky, but there were many, many other issues that were involved in this, and they could have been brought up in a Senate trial. And when the 10 members of the House organization, the House Representatives, went to the Senate and met with Trentlot, he sneered at them and said, "Why, you're not going to dump this on us. We'll give you 3 days, and you can have one or two witnesses, but we're not going to impeach the president." And if you haven't read David Shipper's book, Sellout, you need to get it and read it. That's David Shipper's book, Sellout, and we still carry that book. But what David Shipper has failed to understand is that Trentlot is a 33rd-degree Mason. And he could not, of course, allow a fellow Mason, a member of the Demolays, and although not Masons, they come from Demolay, from Masonic families. And Bill Clinton was the highest-ranking Demolay in the entire country. And, of course, he had been appointed that by the Mason. A Mason, a 33rd-degree Mason, could never allow a court action to be taken against a fellow Mason. Do people understand the influence of the secret societies and the terrible effect of these oaths that they've sworn on these people and upon their souls and their judgment? We will never be able to take our country back. So that's the reason he ought to be getting rid of, not because he made some casual remark about a fellow Mason at his birthday party.
Well, I'm very glad you brought up the tremendous diversionary value to be able to defocus on the issues we should be talking about. And I expect that whether they stick with him or find a suitably and sufficiently his replacement in the same vein, if we can rest assured that the fix is in and we'll never have this Republicrat establishment pushing for the real initiative that will have anything to do with mitigating this terrorist threat or a boatload of other problems. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Stent, would you have just a rough guesstimate of the, say, the total number of camps and how many hundreds of thousands in total in these recently constructed American concentration camps, and God bless.
All right, I really can't tell you. I don't have any figures on that, and, you know, in our videos that we offer, you'll actually see some of the camps. And what are they? They're simply old army camps, but, of course, they put the barbed wire so it keeps people in, not keeping people out. If you want to keep people out of a camp, you slant the barbed wire out. You want to keep them in, you slant it in. And many of these are placed very close to rail lines. Could anybody be really planning on putting American citizens in them? And I will tell you, yes. They would not, of course, have put this into law, and the laws are there. And you can go to Chris Ruddy's website, newsmax.com, and he will tell you that FEMA is planning to spend billions of dollars actually to build detention camps or relocation camps for American citizens. We know, for instance, that they are actually in the process today of actually developing these programs all across America. And, of course, if they don't intend to use them, why should they? They have underground cities to put the executives in. They have an underground city in Washington, D.C., for continuity of government so that the congressmen, the members of the Senate, and their families can go there and be safe. But, of course, they have no places, no sort of shelters for the American citizens. What do they know that we don't know? And why are they planning to protect themselves and not us? Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with some other issues. Let's just listen to Bill Sardi.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Okay, and this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention that if you haven't laid in a food supply in case something big is coming down the line, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about going to war. Why isn't everybody upset about going to war? Because, of course, the wicked Saddam Hussein, who we'd given weapons of mass destruction to in years past, may have weapons of mass destruction. What's wrong with this scenario? If you don't know that we gave him the biological and chemical warfares, get the book, Against All Enemies. I think it's $9.95. We have the only world supply of those at the present time. Against All Enemies by Seymour Hersh. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you haven't laid in a supply of food, or you'd like a list of the things you should have in case the impossible, the unthinkable should happen, why, give a call to 1-800-453-2202, that's 1-800-453-2202, and ask for their preparation list, and of course they'll send you along a catalog of their prepared foods that last 12, 15 years simply on the shelf. But give them a call right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to
antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the rules of engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, and so of course it's open lines. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've been thinking of just talking about the concentration camps. We were, of course, pointing out that you know, they've had concentration camps here before. Certainly they put the Japanese in them during the Second World War. There was no need to do that, but we had to have somebody to demonize. It was the Japs' fault. They were the terrible Japs. You could tell the Jap because he always had a camera with him, and he was taking pictures of our installations to send to Tojo. And nobody ever mentions, of course, that, of course, the Emperor of Hirohito of Japan had been a member of the Occult Order of the Garter, right along with Winston Churchill and all the other elitists. Of course, that is an English secret society. Nobody ever mentioned that we had actually put an oil embargo on Japan, and so we knew they were going to attack because they would have to attack. They couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world. There's so much, of course, that people are not allowed to know here in the United States. Well, right now, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Southern California. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And to you, too. And I hope things are going better. I hope you're still telling people about down there in Southern California what's going on. It doesn't matter whether they listen to you. Just tell them, because one of the days they're going to know you're right.
Yep, I guess they are someday, no matter what happens. But I think we should all consider this. I'm not one for New Year's resolutions, but I think there's an exception, and I think there's a good one, so that we don't succumb to defeatism and this bit about it's too late. I think that we should remember Valley Forge, remember Gideon, and remember what even Winston Churchill, he's an elitist, but he said some good things, among them, never give up, never give in.
Never give up, never give up, never give up, never get up, and then he sat down.
Yep. It's not too late unless we say so or roll over.
Well, let me tell you, of course.
Get rolled over.
It's not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. And
that's
we're
right.
Called to stand. And we're called to be the watchman. We're called to do our best. And after that, praise or blame that follows that counts just the same.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we take our last. We're going to leave this earth someday. If it's for this, then so be it.
Amen. Well, God bless you, and you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, too, Steve.
You, too, and a Happy New Year.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Steve calling from Orange County, and we've got Kenneth on the line from South Carolina. What part of South Carolina are you from, Kenneth?
Down near Charleston.
Okay, fine. Can we, question or comment?
Well, do you think we'd be better off if we were more of an isolationist country?
Absolutely.
And if we, you know, had high tariffs like we did at one time? And we, you know, kept our industry here.
Well, of course. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe that really doesn't understand what's going on.
Well,
time we didn't have to have an income tax because we were able to finance the government through the tariffs and excise taxes.
Well, there are a lot of people who don't believe that. I mean, like Rush Limbaugh, even.
Well, Rush Limbaugh is the finest conservative money can buy. So, he is simply establishment. You know, he's on 600 and so radio stations. He attacks anybody who doesn't go along with the Republican position. He attacks and demonizes people who think there's a move towards world government. And he knows there's a movement towards world government. He just doesn't want the public to know.
Okay. You know how cheap China ships their goods in here.
Right.
And how expensive our goods are for them to buy.
Right.
Okay. But they still have something like a 40% tariff on everything that gets shipped from here to their country. So they're raising a lot of money through that tariff.
That's right. And of course, there are a full military production for war. We're creating the best enemy our money can buy.
Well, I mean, but even though our products are so expensive to ship over there in their money, they still have a high tariff on our products.
Sure.
And I used to work in a textile factory. I never made a lot of money, but I could make $10 to $12 an hour on production. And a lot of people would like to have $10 or $12 an hour today.
I know. You have to understand that they know exactly what they're doing. They don't want the American people to know that their loyalty is not to the United States. It's to this globalist dream. And
yes.
They intend to raise living standards here to that of the Mexican peasant, the Chinese peasant. And there's no way Americans can compete with people who will work gratefully, 80 hours a week for $100 a month.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. They're putting us into competition with them. They're transferring our industry overseas. They know exactly what they're doing. But, of course, if the American people ever really realize the degree of betrayal that's going on, I think they'd rise up in righteous indignation.
Well, here in Mount Pleasant, in the last few years, it's been built up so much, and we've got all these new chain restaurants and things. And lots of people can work in all that service industry, and they can go into the kitchens and make $7 or $8 an hour or whatever. But that's not really any money today.
I know. Well, and, we're in real trouble.
All the service stuff, you can go into the gas station, and wow, one of the gas stations down here, if you work at night, you get about $7.50 an hour. I mean, wow, isn't that wonderful?
I know. We're in real trouble, and our job is just to let people understand that we're being betrayed by our leaders, and both parties are controlled by the same people, and help us to get the word out.
Yep, and, like housing costs today, it's just unbelievable. And when I lived in North Carolina and worked at for Lee Apparel, they make Lee Blue Jeans, they shut down and went to Mexico about a year ago. All the Levi plants up in the mountains shut down, and there were lots of textile factories, and it's just a bad situation for those people.
It sure is, but I want to tell you, it's going to get a lot worse. And help us to get the word out. Help us to get people to understand. Help people to understand our Constitution. And we're putting on programs all across America with the help of the Peruca brothers. And,
yeah.
And if you know people who are there in the Carolinas who will set up one of these study groups, why, they'll give you all the information you need.
Can I tell you one more thing?
One more thing. Go ahead.
When I lived in Cullowhee, North Carolina, that's in the mountains west of Asheville, I would say maybe more than half of the people now, they live in trailer parks. That's all people can afford.
I know that. They're impoverishing the American people to pursue their internationalist dream. And
you
I don't
can
blame
be comfortable
for...
in the trailer park. It's comfortable. I've lived in like a trailer before. It's comfortable, but it's not the American dream.
It sure isn't. They are stealing the American dream, and it's about time the American people knew it.
God bless you, and I'm going to enjoy your broadcast.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, I hope this is Ruth. Is this Ruth?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ruth. How are you? You're Ruth from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Fine. I'm fine. Dr. Stanley, I just thought I'd ask you a question. Since you know so much about history and on these subjects, you were talking about Masons and 32nd degree Masons. My mother's uncle was born in the late 1800s, and in fact, you can bring him up on the Internet if you just type in Robert Lutton. My mother's ancestors were pretty... Anyway, doesn't matter who they were. But I found out, and it is, in fact, on the Internet, he was a 32nd degree Mason. Does that mean he was involved in this stuff?
Sure he was involved in it. Now, he may not have understood because, of course, the whole purpose of Masonry is to deceive the Mason. Some of them understand, and some of them don't. I've known 32nd degree Masons who actually, were there for many years before they realized that this is a satanic Luciferian movement and eventually renounced their vows. An awful lot of them really don't know, but a few of them do. And they, of course, are taken to the higher levels of Masonry, up over above the 33rd degree and the rites of Mithras and Memphis and Mithraeum and the Palladian rite of Masonry, and then into Frank Satanism, because that's what it's really all about. Who do you think the great architect of the universe is? It's Satan himself.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was a little surprised. I never knew that. But
have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
No, I haven't.
Well, get it and read it.
The book list, though, from your radio show.
Well, let me tell you, it's a great introduction. Then you really want to get the graduate degree. Lots of other books, but that's your primer. Okay, God
Thank
bless you.
You.
Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Kenneth, who's calling us from, or this Charlie calling us from Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how you doing, John?
I hope you don't mind me calling back so soon. But your guest yesterday, I had some strong disagreements with him, and I didn't want to express them there. Kennedy, from what I read here, he was saying one thing. He was talking out of both sides of his mouth there for quite a while. I mean, and this anti-communist thing. that they talk about in these books. Obviously, he was Dean Rusk was his, and I've heard you talk about him, how he come out of the foundation,
right?
So, I mean, the whole thing is so convoluted. And it started, you know, this has been years ago. I'm reading about this, the Dewey guy went to Columbia, and the people that were his predecessors at doctor, I can't remember, there were two of these doctors, and they were obviously people who didn't believe in the Christian faith and said so.
Right. We're talking about John Dewey, Columbia University School of Education, right, teacher's college.
Yes, yes, that's where he really... made his impact is once he got there and
set out to dumb down our children and destroy the educational system. And boy, he's done a great job. And hope he's roasting in hell right now.
But I'm surprised that this happened so long ago. This was back in the 30s.
Well, if you read the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, it was written in 58, and you'll find out that this thing's been going on for almost 100 years. But you mentioned my guest yesterday, Mr. Douglas. I don't argue with my guests. I want you to hear what they have to say. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of great information, and I don't agree with all of it, but a lot of it is very, very good, and he did a lot of research. So you'll hear a lot of people here, and sometimes you wonder why I don't argue with them. That's not my job. My job is to present you the facts, and then we can always discuss it later, okay?
Well, I understand that you don't want to be rude to people that you have on your program. That makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
But, you know, for him to say, bring up something about, and I've heard a lot of things about McCarthy, but I never heard he was a homosexual.
Well, I tell you what, you know, Roy Cohn was a homosexual.
Yes.
And, of course, don't totally discount what Mr. Douglas says. He's got a lot of the original documents. Hey, we got to run. God bless you. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Spencer calling from, let's see, we've got Lorraine from San Diego calling. Let's go to Lorraine, and then we'll get to Spencer. Lorraine, did you have a question or comment? Lorraine, are you there, or is this Spencer?
I guess this is me.
All right, fine. What's your question?
Well, if McCarthy was a homosexual, I think he still told the truth.
All right, fine. I had never heard he was a homosexual, but I'd always wondered about him and his close friendship with, of course, Roy Cohn, who was a homosexual, who was a very, very close friend of J. Edgar Hoover. And, of course, contrary to what everybody believes, Hoover was a homosexual, too.
Well, besides that, I think it's an amazing paradox that Jesse Jackson, a 33-degree Mason, would ask Trett Lott, another 33-degree Mason, to step down, don't you, Dr. Stanley?
I don't know that Jesse Jackson is a 33rd-degree Mason, but you may be right.
And if they are, which I have documentation that they are, why would a member of the Brotherhood ask another member to step down, or is this a Masonic coup d'etat on the Republic itself?
I can't tell you.
And will the Masons be in charge of those concentration camps?
No, I don't think so. I think that the evil people will be in charge of them. Thanks so very much, and let's go right now to Lorraine. Is this Lorraine?
Yes.
Hi, Lorraine. How are you, Lorraine? How are you doing?
Fine. I wanted to ask you, I found something on the Internet where your name and your wife's name is listed as a member on the Council for National
Yes, and
Policy.
We'll cover that in just a minute when I get back. You hang on here in just a moment,
okay,
will you? And this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And, of course, depend on you who listen to our programs for your help and support. And, of course, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, and, of course, more important than that, you'll be helping us do what we do as we reach out across America 5 hours every day. And, of course, we hope that you want to join the Radio Liberty family or subscribe to our newsletter, and then that you'll tell other people about our programs, that you'll tell them about our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, where you can hear our archive programs. And, of course, you can hear our live programs 3 hours a day. You can link to AmericanNewsNet.com, the American Freedom Network, hear our morning program. And, of course, it'll tell you how to get to the Genesis program. So you can listen 5 hours a day and not get anything accomplished, but hopefully you'll begin to learn a lot about what's going on in our country today. We're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battle field. And, of course, we hope many of you will decide you're going to join with us. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, you can get our November newsletter, which, of course, goes into what's happening economically, our October newsletter, which, of course, is the Kristen Breitweiser's testimony, suppressed testimony before the Senate's Select Committee on Intelligence, or our September newsletter, which goes into what really happened a year before in September. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't had a newsletter before, we'll be glad to send you a copy right now. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let's get back to Lorraine. And Lorraine, you mentioned I am a member of the Council for National Policy. What do you know about the Council for National Policy?
Well, when I got on it, well, somebody had it listed up as a One World Order group, but then I got into some other stuff, and it said it was closed in secrecy, and that the mainstream press knows very little about it.
Oh, well, of course, that really isn't
secret.
True. Would you like to go to a meeting? Oh, I mean, Chris, you're going to have to pay your way. It's expensive to go. Would you like to go to a meeting sometime?
I wouldn't be able to afford it. I got some money.
Fine. Well, let me tell you about the Council on National Policy. The Council on National Policy was really formed initially by Tim LaHaye and by Pat Robertson and by James Dobson and Jerry Falwell and maybe a half dozen other people to be a counter to the Council on Foreign Relations. In other words, here you had this one world group, the government group. And, of course, the whole idea was that this was to be a counter for the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, it was going to be where the conservative leaders could get together and do something to oppose the betrayal of our country. And I think all the people who were involved initially were good-hearted people, loyal, patriotic Americans who really wanted to do something. Unfortunately, as things happen, pretty soon the Council on Foreign Relations had become a cheering section for the one world government, for the Republican Party. Now, there are a lot of good people in the Council on Foreign Relations, and a lot of people who have no idea what's really going on. I joined the organization, about 10 years ago, to try to actually get the organization and the leaders of America to understand what's really taking place. And hopefully we've been able to influence some of them to make them understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being carried on in a political battlefield. And I go up there every time and I give a 1 minute or 3 minute or 5 minute report explaining to them what's happening. And this is how I have an impact on the people who lead America. And as a result, many of them have actually asked to take our newsletter. Now, as far as secret, the press, you know, has snuck in there, and they've had their people in there in the past. They don't allow the press in because they want people to be able to talk and talk openly. And, of course, you can imagine what would happen when you've got the press there. I mean, here Trent Lotz gets up at a meeting and says, you know, boy, the country would have been better off if Strom Thurmond had been elected president in 1948, and the press took and distorted everything he said and made a big mess out of it, totally distorted the meaning of what he said. And so you can't trust the press. I don't trust the press, do you?
No, of course
okay,
not
fine.
100%.
Of course, and so if you'd ever like to go to a meeting, you give me a call, and I would do everything I could to get you. They do not allow certain troublemakers there to come, and you have to be approved, but I would be glad to submit your name if you'd like to go, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now what do you think about that? Do you think this is a terribly subversive group?
Anything done in secrecy.
It's not going to be done in secrecy.
As a common person, just a voter. I think lately we've been feeling oppressed anyway.
You sure have.
And so all this, you know, when you see secret and stuff.
Well, there's nothing really secret about it. In fact, they publish the speeches that are given there. And if you want to, I mean, these are circulated widely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they try to give you the feeling it's sinister and secret. It really isn't.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the question. Bye-bye.
Okay, and let's see who we've got. After Lorraine, we have, is that 14 or 15? Who's supposed to be up next? Well, let's go to 15. Who we have from, is this Bill from Florida?
Yeah, I told her this was Cephas Bill from Florida.
All right,
so
you have a question or comment?
I had a comment, Dr. Stan. The man that mentioned why Jesse Jackson, a 33rd degree Mason, would call for the removal of Trent Lott.
Mm-hmm.
Having been in the lodge and having gotten out of the Masonic order, basically you have two different organizations there. There's a black lodge and a white lodge.
You're talking about the Prince Hall Lodge.
I'm not sure about that, but in the...
The black lodge is Prince Hall.
Prince Hall, okay. But in the oath that the Masons take, they basically in their third degree oath say that they won't have anything to do with clandestine lodges, which they consider the black lodges to be. They don't recognize them as Masonic lodges or Masons, so that's why Jesse Jackson as a 33rd degree would be calling for that.
Is he a 33rd degree? I don't know that.
I don't know. That's what that caller had said.
Right. Well, I'd like to see everything verified, and he may very well be.
Yeah, I'd never checked into that.
Right.
I just was wanted to comment on that.
Okay.
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
And you too. Thank you for calling.
Keep up the good work.
Right. And who do we have here? We've got AJ from Carmel. Hi. How are you doing, AJ?
Okay, Dr. Stan, listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but I saw this morning on Fox News that the director of FEMA resigned. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't. Why did he resign? Who was he and why did he resign?
Oh, I can't recall his name, but he resigned. That's all I can tell you.
All right, fine.
You're the man that knows all the knows.
I don't know. All I know is what I'm able to glean from reading the media, and then what I really learned from studying history, and of course we have a few sources across America that have some access to other information, and we try to get these people onto the program so you can hear them. Now you have to understand that FEMA will take over if there is a national emergency, and they will have actually dictatorial power. And they will have the ability to arrest people when they want to. And, of course, under martial law, which the president has the right to declare under the 1992 crime bill, if he perceives that there is a national emergency or a threat to our nation, FEMA would be able to arrest anybody and put them in camps and do whatever they wanted to. And, of course, if you read the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, it gives almost the same draconian powers to public health officers. This is frightening because it basically suspends the Constitution in case of a perceived problem. And I worry, if they could create a problem. We know that they've created problems in the past. If you haven't read Operation Northwood, this was plan put together by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to actually sink American boats, to kill Americans, to kill Cubans coming into this country, to shoot down our planes in an effort to create an incident to justify a war. And it's covered in a book called James Bamford's Body of Secrets, or we actually have the Operation Northwood. In fact, I should put it up on my website because it was declassified, a declassified government document. It's there. You have to understand there are people, wicked people, who can justify saying, well, look, we have to go to war with Fidel Castro, so let's go ahead and create an incident to justify a war. Would they do the same thing in America? Well, Adolf Hitler did it over in Germany, burned down the Reichstag so that they could declare a national emergency. Certainly, here in this country, immediately after the September 11th attack, they passed the USA Patriot Act, which suspends the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution and allows searches of your home without your knowledge or consent. I mean, you know, how could these things have gone on in this country? Because there are people who want a dictatorship. There are people who have always wanted a dictatorship. Power is the greatest aphrodisiac of all, as Henry Kissinger said. And I believe that there are people who want power in America. There are evil people. There have always been evil people. And there are some very wicked people in government today. Anything else, AJ?
Well, I wanted to tell you this. When I was in the Army, I was in G2. And John Kennedy was my commander-in-chief. Now, he sent down an executive order to the armies to promote all, and these are the words that were on this Twix, promote all Negroes above all whites, no matter how much time and grade they have. Now, I saw that with my own eyes.
Well, of course, the thing
but
is...
He was a troublemaker from the beginning, I believe.
Well, I believe that you should not discriminate anybody, you know, if they're black or white, but you shouldn't promote people just because of the color of their skin. I mean, that's
right.
that creates racial hatred, and that's exactly what they're trying to do.
I tell you what, the troops went around with a scowl on their face after that.
Well, I would think that even a black man would feel very, very wrong with
that.
Yeah,
out of place, yeah.
I mean, because it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of capable blacks and a lot of capable whites. But
true.
you have to promote a person based upon his ability.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you destroy the morale of an army or a military unit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God bless you, and thanks so much, AJ.
God bless you, bye.
Okay, fine. And so if we have another caller, why, we'll be glad to take him. We've got about 2 minutes before we have to go to the next segment. Anyway, just about to the end of the program, and this is the time when I certainly want to suggest that if you do not already join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you seriously consider doing that, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And really, I don't know anybody else who's getting a lot of the information out that we get out. And quite frankly, we could use your help. We could use your support. So go to our website. Read the material we have there. You have our permission to pull down our newsletters, to copy our various tapes, and of course we want you to tell your friends about our programs and just try to get them to listen, try to get them to think. And then of course we seriously hope if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family supporters, you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. A lot of people can't afford that, and I realize that a lot of people are having a difficult time. If you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, that would be a big help. Or whatever you can possibly do to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So this is the time, of course, when we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers with a full understanding that this is truly a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and economic and battlefield. But you have to understand behind all of this are these demonic spiritual forces that have been here since the beginning of time and are represented, where you can see them every day, represented by that symbol on the back of the dollar bill. What is a Egyptian pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye doing on the back of the dollar bill? I'll tell you why. Because that's the God that we worship. Above it, you see, in God we trust. That's the God they're talking about, the God of ancient Egypt and ancient Babylon. Of course, this is the God of the mystery religions. It's Lucifer. And about time the American people spoke up, about time our ministers and our churches spoke up, and help us to get the truth out across America. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back with you, and hopefully we'll have our regularly scheduled guest. Until then, Dr. Stan, may the Lord be with you.
Hello. Yes. Hi, how are you doing, Larry? I'm fine. Yes. Council on Oxapology is just basically, it's a group of conservative Christian leaders that was formed to counter the Council on Foreign Relations. We got taken over by the other side. And we're there trying to let these people know what's really going on. And absolutely. And it's still, I mean, most of the people there are good people. They don't understand it's just not being effective. It has been neutralized. Now, we did get a new director in there, and he's getting in really much, much better speakers. But of course, what I do is, of course, send many of these people our newsletters to try to get them educated to understand what's going on. And I have the opportunity to speak. You don't get up, and of course, just next time I'm going to take down Kristen Breitweiser's newsletter and, pass that out to try to get them to understand that their support, most of them support George Bush, and that this man is betraying them. Oh, no, there are three meetings a year, and I usually go to two meetings. Sometimes I go to all three meetings. But the only reason I go is to try to influence these people. Well, the thing is that they put this thing up on the net. The same people who put this up aren't attacking the Bilderbergers. They're not attacking the Trilateral Commission. They're not attacking the Council on Foreign Relations. They're attacking the Council for National Policy. In fact, if you read the material up there, they will tell you that Radio Liberty is financed by the CIA. And it is, but it's a different Radio Liberty. And not only that, they got the material on Barbara Monteith. My wife's name is Barbara, but it's a different Barbara Monteith they're talking about. So, they'll do anything. Look, if I'm not being attacked, I'm not being effective. And of course, if this is the worst thing they can find, that I happen to belong to an organization with James Dobson and Phyllis Lafley and Howard Phillips and so many of the people you hear on our program, one reason I go there is because I get a lot of great guests to come to our program. But there's nothing secret about it other than they don't want the press there and they ask you not to quote the people unless without their permission. So I very often say, can I quote you? And they all say, yes, go ahead and quote me. I've never yet had anybody say, I don't want to be quoted for what I said. What's that? Well, basically, you've got some very influential people that come in, and they get up and they give their opinion. I'll never forget when we had Paul Weyrich there. We had Senator Hatz get up and talking about how he was fighting all the liberal nominees for the courts, and Paul Weyrich got up and said, Senator Hatz is a liar. Everything he said to you today is a lie. And he got it right in front of the whole group. Well, it wouldn't do any good to put this out in the media, They would just make a big issue out of it. Hatz is a liar, but of course they're not going to attack him. They're going to attack Paul Weyrich. So you can't speak openly at the media there. I think they're going to twist what you say. And they twist what you say anyway. Okay, but they put this up there for this specific purpose. And you know, when I told Lorraine I'd be glad to take her to one of the meetings, she wasn't interested in going to a meeting. Okay, well, if you want to go, they're expensive. You're going to pay your own way, but if you have to pay airfare, $350 to go, and then, the place where you have to stay. So it's costing $1,000 to go, but I do it so I can have an influence. Okay, God love you. Bye-bye. And have a wonderful Christmas. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.